everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup Live. Reaching every Friday night, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, the All-In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo News. Good to see everybody. So I'm coming in on two wheels, Eric. I'm coming in. Coming in hot today, so apologies if I seem a little bit scatterbrained as I'm sort of, right before we went live, I started having camera issues, and I'm like scrambling trying to figure out what it is, but it seems to be okay now.
Akira sliding into this week's news roundup.
Yeah, so I'm kind of just figuring it out here, but it seems to be okay. Seem to have not broken anything. We're going to have a good show tonight. Crazy news. We do have some stuff to talk about. Before we do any of it, of course, you know what we have to do first?
We have to Akira slide into our patron shoutouts.
That's right. We need to shout out our wonderful supporters at patreon.com/allinpodcast. Beginning with our Golden Banana Bunch, we need to thank Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, a.k.a. NeoPrime33, a.k.a. Nintendo Dad Number 4, Matt, Shy Guy Sidney Murray, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan, hashtag Look to the Cookie, Patrice Millette, and Solo Something. Huge thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can head over to patreon.com/allinpodcast to get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier, join their ranks, and get yourself a bunch of exclusive content. But moving into our Triforce tier, need to thank Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle of Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast, as well as the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Setting Nintendo Hubbin' Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, the other half of our Shy Guy Mod Squad, Shy Guy. Thank you, Shy Guy. Daniel Hinojosa, Dan and Luma, Bowza, the Keeper of the Hugs, who's in the chat right now. So shout outs to Bowza. Happy Friday, Bowza. And the legend himself.
The man who, legend tells, actually inspired the original Akira slide scene. Uncle Randy.
He is just that cool, man. Uncle Randy is just that cool. Shout outs to Uncle Randy. Shout outs to all our patrons. Thank you guys so much. Again, that's patreon.com/allinpodcast. 7-day free trial if you want to check it out. Another great way to support the show and everything we do here is some merch. If you're watching on YouTube, it's down there. You can buy it bit.ly/allinmerch. And if you listen to us on your audio feeds, leaving a 5-star review on the podcatcher of your choice is another great way to help the show out, and very quick and easy and free. So, yeah. Appreciate you for sticking with us. Eric, let's get into some news, shall we?
Sounds good. There's some interesting goings on within the holiday season world of Nintendo. So let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it, my friend. I think the first thing we should probably hit is E3, yeah?
Yeah, because it's more than likely going to be the last time. This is something that unfortunately has been brewing, hit and miss. I don't know what the exact best words for it are, but E3 has essentially been on life support for years now. And we've heard promises about them trying to come back bigger and stronger next year for several years at this point. But yes, here this past week, we mercifully finally got the final, what looks to be the final word. As you can see here up on screen, if you're watching the video with us, quote, after more than two decades of E3, each one bigger than the last, the time has come to say goodbye. Thanks for the memories, end quote. This, of course, coming from the ESA themselves.
Yep. And they end with a GGWP, which was a little bit weird. Nobody talks like that anymore, E3, which to me, that was like, you know, and I don't mean to be crass about this because it is, you know, it is sad. We're all nostalgic for E3, but, you know, that to me was just sort of indicative of like, wow, like using like a weird out of touch, you know, phrase is kind of appropriate for E3 to leave as their final statement. Look, man, like this writing's been on the wall for this for a long time. You know, this isn't like a huge surprise. They've been trying it for like a while. They've been trying to hang on for dear life for a while. And as sad as it is, it's like, this is kind of the way it was always going to go. Like, we knew this was going to happen eventually.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have already basically done a post-mortem on E3. We, you know, not to, you know, rub salt in the wound. But yeah, we knew this was coming. But it is just kind of nice to see that the people in charge, the powers that be, are kind of like, you know what? It is time to move on. Enough resources, enough wasted potential has been wasted just to try to keep this thing alive when we've known for a very long time that it was dead.
Yeah.
And heroically, Jeff Keighley was able to stop himself from.
Yeah. From a Herculean effort, I'm sure, on his part.
Yes. Truly heroic effort from Jeff Keighley, not immediately aggrandizing and advertising 2024 Summer Game Fest following that tweet. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, this is the final last nail in the coffin for E3. Like ESA said, though, thanks for the memories. You and I have talked at length about how many fond memories we have of the event over the years, and it's given us some of, I mean, without hyperbole, some of the best moments in the history of the industry. And for many, many years, it was the biggest event in the industry. There are many, many things that debuted, many, many things that we found out about, many, many moments and legendary reveals from this event. So it's always going to live forever within this industry. It's just time to move on from the way that, you know, it used to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the harsh reality, and again, you know, there's not a whole lot new to say about this. It's like, look, man, these people don't need E3 anymore. Nintendo hasn't needed E3 in years. The last E3 that Nintendo had like a true like presence at was 2018, 2019. They haven't had an actual like presentation at E3 in much longer than that. So, you know, look, it's just the unfortunate reality of things, man. But RIP to E3. You know, it is sad. I have a lot of fond memories of it, but what are you gonna do, man?
Yeah, I'm sure E3 will be eulogized and memorialized every summer, just because of E3 in large part. Summer is just kind of now the big news season of the gaming industry.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So for the past couple of years, we've still been getting a lot of the big reveals, a lot of the big debut trailers, and a lot of the big brand new game and even console announcements continuing in June, specifically, you know, around the time that E3 used to be held. So like that part of the legacy is still going to live on. I feel like June is just kind of set in stone. It is basically gamer Christmas.
Yeah, it's the best, you know, time to announce the stuff, you know, but it is telling. Like, I mean, I had like I had people like messaging me that are not as ingratiated into all of this as we are. I had like multiple people are like, oh, my God, is E3 really dead? You know, and I mean, look, like, love it or hate it. Like, that was the premiere. Like, that was the one that would get on like Fox News and whatnot, you know, like people kind of knew about E3, like people kind of, you know, heralded it. Everybody kind of knew what it was, even if you weren't a capital G gamer. Right. So,
yeah, all the all the local news networks and all the big quote unquote, like legitimate news outlets would all talk about how a bunch of 40-year-olds still living in their parents' basement have all converged onto the Los Angeles Convention Center to talk about, you know, the newest sex riddled, violence riddled, interactive entertainment gracing our store shelves this holiday season.
Yeah, exactly. Well, RIP E3, thanks for the memories. Appreciate you. Maybe at some point, you know, in the future, if we're going to talk about E3 at all, maybe at some point in the future, there's more to mine from looking back at, you know, favorite Nintendo. I think we've even done that top five on the main podcast. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, we've said our piece, I feel like, but
yeah, I'll play some Fallout Boy for you later, E3.
There you go. Thanks for the memories.
Thanks for the memories. Exactly.
With all the vowels removed from the title for reasons.
Hey, it was just like E3. It was the cool thing to do at the time.
For sure. Well, speaking of something cool, let's talk about this. Let's talk about Link's Awakening.
Dude, this is awesome. I love this so much. We all saw the writing on the... Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Yes, there is slash was an amazing looking Link's Awakening PC port. Clearly a lot of work went into this, and it looks fantastic. It looks amazing. It was so good, and it immediately blew up. And as you can see, Link is just, oh my God, just look at that. The way he's just, you know, really opening up the world. No longer is it, you know, go screen to screen, and it's got, you know, that kind of classic Game Boy screen scrolling effect. Now you can basically just run around, and the screen just, the screen much more naturally scrolls.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's great effect. The pixels look more crisp than ever. If you were one of the lucky few who was able to get this and download this, I'd love to hear what your thoughts on this version of the game are, because I mean, honestly, I think I've already said all the superlatives I really can't attach to this game. It just looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo's taken it down already, as you sort of alluded to.
Yep, of course they did.
You know, so the trailer says download now, but it's already been, you know, long since removed. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things, like, this is a really cool, this is a fan-made, you know, uploaded for free on itch.io. You know, the widescreen support, the HD visuals, the 120 FPS.
Yeah.
They were even talking about, let me see if I can pull this up quickly. I think it was John Linneman from Digital Foundry on Twitter was showing off, he was showing off like how you can actually pull out like the entire map and just like see the whole game, like running, like the entire world map, just running, you know, from like a bird's eye view.
That's dope.
Let me show this. This is really cool, man. Check this out here. Pull this up and show it on stream. You can pull the world map out and just look at the whole, and it's like active. Like you can see everything moving. Like it's like a little ant farm or something. Really neat. So
that's fantastic.
It, you know, it's one of those things where like, we know how Nintendo is about projects like these. It's unfortunate. If they were smart, they would just say like, they would just like buy it from these people. Like, they would just literally take it down and then pay for it and then re-release it themselves. That's what I would do if I were them. Because this is such a neat project. And frankly, I wish that Nintendo would make something this cool. It reminds me, on a smaller scale, but it reminds me of, like, the 3D classics on 3DS. Where,
oh, yeah.
Like, there would be actual improvements made to these classic games without, while still retaining the core, like the 3D classics version of Kirby, for example, Kirby's Adventure is like the best version of that game.
Yeah.
You know,
the best version of like the best NES game.
Well, I know that's your opinion. I think Matt's in the same boat. I know people who think that, but you know, I can't, I'm Super Mario Brothers 3 boy. I'm sorry.
I don't blame you. I really don't.
I'm sorry.
It's also amazing. But yeah, this is a really cool way, I think, to bring modern games, or I'm sorry, to bring classic games into, you know, the modern era while still retaining every aspect of that original retro charm. I think this is a fantastic take on Link's Awakening. And yeah, just like you said, we know Nintendo, as much as you and I love the games that Nintendo produces, they are violently protective of their IPs.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I would really like to see Nintendo take a much more diplomatic approach to projects like this, because we have seen companies, we've seen big publishers, big companies, you know, people who make fan projects, people who do, I mean, Christian Whitehead's probably the best example of that to this day with Sonic Mania. But we've seen big companies, big publishers develop very fruitful partnerships with some of the more intelligent, some of the more talented fan game and ROM hack artists out there. And considering the state of, you know, what that industry is like, I mean, there's so many, like, fan game and ROM hack, like, even gatherings and events. And it's such a massive community. It's such a massive part of the video gaming landscape at this point. Like, people should really be people should really be just looking at that as, you know, it's like, how about you all just send us applications? How about that? Just start working for us. Just start scouting those of just honestly have Nintendo talent scouts. Just buy going it. To exactly.
Just buy it. You know who else this worked out for was Valve. I mean, like Portal 1, not a Valve game.
Yeah.
It became a Valve game. They saw these college kids
yep.
who were working on this thing and they bought it. And they said, hey, let's make it our own thing and let's make it like a full game out of it. And they bought it, man. Like, that's what Nintendo should be doing. If I ran Nintendo, that's what I would have bought this from this person and I would have just re-released it myself. And, you know, like you could have, everybody watching this, listening to this would have purchased that, would have paid, you know, whatever, 10, 15 bucks for that, you know? So that's what I would have done.
Yeah. But. And we've seen this so many times, like that amazing, like 2D, what was that Metroid game?
The AM2R or whatever.
Yeah, the AM2R. Another Metroid 2 remake. Looks so good. That looks mm-hmm. so good. But, you know, similarly, it got taken down. And, you know, of course, our friend Phil Summers with hand-drawn game guides. There's so much yep. incredible talent out there that truly loves these classic, these iconic games from Nintendo and want to express their own creativity and want to express and channel their talent through this. There's so much potential there. Rather than wasting money on being combative, you know, I'm just, peace, man. Make peace. Yeah. Make love, not war.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Well, hopefully we'll see maybe something like that in the future. Even just like, man, just give me some. I do love the idea like of taking these old games and like bringing like retaining the core of what they are, but take yeah. advantage of modern hardware. Like, I love that because that like just that simple stuff that they've done with this Link's Awakening thing, like it completely changes the game, like the entire feel of the game, the flow of, like, it totally changes all of that.
Yeah.
And really, really neat, man. So yeah, that was a cool story.
Yeah, that's not to say that the Link's Awakening remake Nintendo put out on the Nintendo Switch isn't amazing and you shouldn't check it out, but there are some really good lessons to be learned from this little project. Even if it wasn't a re-release of Link's Awakening, you could take this approach and apply it to quite a few classic games from Nintendo's NES from their 8-bit and 16-bit days. So yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, me either. Well, let's chat a little bit about good old Hideki Kamiya, who cropped up this week. He recently opened up about why he left Platinum mm-hmm. earlier this year. For those who don't know, Hideki Kamiya was one of the directors at Platinum, one of the co-founders of the company, and has been with that company since its inception. He has been responsible for a ton of amazing games. He's a legendary game designer.
Yeah, and the father of Bayonetta, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, even going back to the old Clover days, he's the one behind Okami,
Okami, yeah.
Like, he's a well-known figure. Left Platinum a few months ago at this point, and has been kind of, you know, understandably quiet about kind of why. He's spoken in vague terms about it, but if there's one thing about Kamiya, is that he's got a mouth on him, right? Yeah. Like, he's gonna talk,
mm-hmm.
right? So he recently kind of expounded a little bit upon his departure from Platinum Games. He has a quote here, quote, "My work with Platinum Games was based on a relationship of trust with the company. I decided to leave because I felt that the direction the company was heading in was different from my beliefs as a developer. Without that element of trust, I couldn't continue working there, and so I left so that I could continue working in what I consider to be the right way. I don't think of games as products, but rather as works of art. I want to put my artistry into games and deliver games that could only be made by Hideki Kamiya so that players can enjoy Hideki Kamiya games exactly as they are. I decided to leave the company and forge my own path to continue making games that reflect the developers who made them." End quote. A lot of third person referential there. And I get it though. Like I understand what he's saying here, because when you're an artist making art and you feel like the company's moving in a different direction, then like, I mean, yeah, like it probably was a tough decision for him, but he's probably like, look, I gotta bounce. And it makes me curious, like, what the leadership at Platinum is like now and what those, like, is the belief system really like so different? Like, he's kind of implying that they look at games as products and not art, you know? So I don't know. It's weird.
And I'm sure a lot of people are probably asking, is like, well, if he was the director, couldn't he change that? Couldn't he impact that? Couldn't he guide those morals, those values, those ideas that he was talking about? it's not remotely that simple. No. And yeah, to get into the weeds on that would be very boring and take up a lot of time. But long story short is, yes, he was, you know, high up in the leadership of the company, but he was far and away not the only prominent member of that company, especially since, I mean, Platinum's a publicly traded company as well, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, so even with his, you know, even with his title, I don't blame him. I really don't, because video games are an intensely creative medium, and it takes artists, and it takes people like Kami, it takes people like, you know, those, you know, Mitsuda and Miyamoto and these insanely creative types to be able to steer that ship. I don't know. I'm sad to see him go, because under his watch, Platinum Games has put out some amazing titles. And I am very interested to see what he will do next. Basically, I'm wondering if he just wants to create Platinum Games version 2.0.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We might not have too long to wait to hear what his next thing looks like. There's going to be tomorrow, actually, at the time we're recording this, a public talk given between Kamiya and Shinji Mikami, who, also noteworthy, he left his own company back in February this year, Tango Gameworks. He left that company as well, which he co-founded. And Shinji Mikami, for those who don't know, is also a very prolific ex-Capcom dev responsible for Resident Evil, above all else. And so Kamiya and Mikami are kind of like talked about in similar kind of terms and circles. And so they're holding a talk, discussing their careers and their future plans at the Archipel Caravan Festival in Tokyo, tomorrow. December 16th at the time we're recording this.
We're coming together to make Not Dante teams up with Not Bayonetta.
So, like, that's kind of what I'm curious. I'm like, are they going to do something together? Are they going to announce something that they're doing together there? Or are they just going to kind of speak vaguely? I don't know, but that's, it is interesting that they're both, like, giving a talk, you know, publicly together about this. And it is interesting that both of them left their companies this year. So, yeah.
Strokes we'll beard see. In interest.
Yeah, we shall see. Well, I got a weird one for you, Eric, and there's not really much to say about this, but I just kind of wanted to throw this out here because I thought it was funny. So we just got the Indigo Disc DLC, yes. Right? Yes. For Scarlet and Violet. And for those who played Scarlet and Violet, you might remember that they commissioned Ed Sheeran, of all people, to make a song for it called Celestial. And it sucks, just like every Ed Sheeran song sucks. And he put out, like, I think a music video for it, and yeah, they kind of really hyped it up. In the Indigo Disc, which is kind of the final, like, you could consider it maybe like the sort of coda on Scarlet and Violet. We assume this is the final piece of DLC for it.
Yeah.
In the credits, a new version of Celestial is played, a remixed version by Toby Fox. Who is the composer behind Undertale most famously, but has been working with Game Freak for a while.
Yeah. And we know that he worked on the music in the vanilla version of Scarlet and Violet. So, you know, it's not as weird, but still pretty weird.
Yeah. It's more so just funny. Like, and I listened to it and it's an improvement. I mean, the song still sucks. Like the song itself is just like, I got AI to listen to Ed Sheeran songs, and this is what it made, kind
Did
of song.
Did Ed Sheeran kill your brother or something?
I'm not a fan. If you can tell, I'm just not a fan. It just, to me, it's just very, like, generic. Like, it's very, like, bubblegum pop. Like, I just get nothing from it, personally. I don't, you know, I have nothing personal against Ed Sheeran, but it's just, like, it's nothing. Like, it's just, you know, flavorless bubblegum. And Toby Fox, like, tried his best, I felt like. Like he it's interesting. Like it opens up with like a little bit of an acoustic like thing, and it doesn't even play like the chorus at all throughout the entire remix. It's an interesting remix. I'll just say that. Sean Capri says it's a ginger thing. So maybe I'll just put this up on screen so Sean can, you know, get a little shade from that.
Are you trying to say that Seth doesn't like Ed Sheeran because he's ginger?
I'm not ginger. And Ed Sheeran's ginger.
Are you racist against ginger, Seth?
I don't think so. I just think he's a bad musician. That's all.
Bad piece of what?
I just wanted to shout that out. It's very funny. Sean says that's exactly what I'm saying. So, yeah, Sean's trying to imply that I'm anti-ginger. Not true. Not the case. Anyways, Ed Sheeran, Toby Fox remixed an Ed Sheeran song that itself was made for a Pokemon game. So just consider that for as long as you'd like. All right.
Eric, not as weird as you not liking ginger people, but still.
Yeah. Don't take that and run with it, anybody listening, please.
Sean's already clipped that.
Yeah. Mostly seeing if I can derail the show, mission accomplished. Sean, look. That's okay. We'll get us back on track here. A couple PSAs.
Yep.
This is actually, speaking of Sean Capri, this is a very Sean Capri charged PSA here. A Super Mario Brothers Wonder themed Maximus Cup for Tetris 99 currently ongoing. Sean, let me know if you did you already get your themes and whatnot, because it's currently ongoing. It's available until the 18th. Because we just got done with like a WarioWare Maximus Cup for Tetris 99, and now we got Mario Wonder. So.
Hey, cool. I respect how much they are supporting Tetris 99 and how much they're continuing to add to Tetris 99. Fair enough.
Got you, boo. Got you, boo. Sean says, thank you for the reminder. Yeah, you gotta get in there, get your Mario Wonder Maximus Cup theme for Tetris 99. I'm happy they're still doing it, too.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Tetris is like the biggest puzzle game in history. There's no reason that they shouldn't be finding ways to continue to support that. And I just kind of wish that Nintendo would have supported more of those Battle Royale, you know, games. Obviously, we've gotten a lot of support with F-Zero 99, but, you know, there's some other stuff that has kind of come and gone, flash in the pan, but really, really fun games that if they had just continued to support even just a little bit, like you and I would probably still be playing Kirby's Dream Buffet if they, you know, were still adding
maybe if the big thing with that, they would have had to put some money behind the servers on that bad boy, because I'll tell you what, the playing that game online was rough, and I played like 30 plus hours of that game somehow. I would have liked to see, like, if they put like some actual effort behind some of this stuff, maybe like it's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, at the end of the day, where it's like, these things aren't doing well. Well, do you consider that maybe they're not doing well because you're dropping support on them like a bag of dirt? Like, maybe, you know, maybe if you actually support things a little bit, they'll have some more legs. So, you know, I think F-Zero 99 has been a huge example of this. You know, I think F-Zero 99 has had some amazing support, and they kind of like top loaded it. They said, here it is. Here's a ton of amazing support. And then like, we're going to keep sprinkling things in. Like, we just got that like classic mode for it. People love that game, dude. People love it. I was listening to shout outs to Presto the Magnificent, Community Presto, who hosts the Off the Wah podcast. He had Andre from Game Explain on there, who we're friends with. He's on the show too.
Yep.
He's been on the show before. And Andre's talking like he loves that. He loves F-Zero 99.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just think that there is something to be learned there from F-Zero 99, not just for the F-Zero franchise, but the way you handle these kind of Nintendo-ified live service games in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yes, Mario Wonder, Tetris 99, Maximus Cup, go do it.
Go do it. Go do it. Okay, well, Eric, if your TV screen behind you is any indication, the current NSO free game trial is none other than Suica Game, Watermelon Game itself. NSO subscribers can play the game for free until the 20th if you somehow have managed to avoid Suica Game already. You know, typically with these, there's like a 40%, 50% discount. The game's like $3, so they're like, just, you can play it for free, and if you want it, just buy it.
Yeah. My first thought when I saw that it was going to be the next NSO free game trial is, imagine the developer of this game who a couple months ago was probably just thinking to himself, man, I hope like 100 people pick this game up. I hope a couple people see this game and think that it's interesting. I can't imagine in his wildest dreams, in his biggest fantasies while he was working on this game, that he even considered the level of notoriety that Nintendo themselves would wind up giving to this game. This is probably, of all the best, you know, objectively good video games we've gotten this year, this honestly may be the best success story in Nintendo this year. So congrats to the developer for this one. You put together a super simple but super satisfying little puzzle game, who I'm sure you would have been ecstatic if it had just sold like 2,000 copies. And immediately it was demanded to be released in the U.S. And now here we are. Nintendo themselves are advertising it as the next NSO free game trial. So congrats on the year that you've had, man.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm a little distracted. I Googled. So the developer is Aladdin X. And I don't know Suika Games, like, the only game they've ever made or whatever, but I can tell you, don't Google Aladdin X. That's fair. All I'm going to say.
That's fair.
You're going to get some, you know, Disney's Aladdin related search results is all I'll say. Bowser says, it's kind of like Vampire Survivors. It's an unknown game for $2.99 on Steam Early Access. Now it's a huge deal. That's the thing, man. If you just make a good game, like, we can talk about Suika Game all we want. We can laugh it off. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Like, simply. Like, it is just a good game. And it is a satisfying, addictive loop of a puzzle game. Streamers caught on to it. It was, like, the perfect storm. And, yeah, now I feel like the cherry on top of all this is, like, now you have recognition from Nintendo. And it is a Switch console exclusive. So I don't blame Nintendo for wanting to, you know, start knocking on their door. No. Yeah, pretty cool. You can play it for free, and you can get like 100 platinum coins if you play it also.
Now, I will say, we just had a conversation about Nintendo altering their mindset in terms of, you know, fan games and, you know, hacking and basically trying to take talented individuals and bring them under their wing. I do think that this is an indication of a very slowly changing mindset for Nintendo, but a mindset that is still ultimately changing for the better. Because this game is very memeable. It's a very meme-heavy game. It's still a good game, but Nintendo is taking this quaint little novelty, and they did realize, you know, how popular, did realize, you know, how much momentum it had behind it, and they're capitalizing on it now. So, again, I think Nintendo's mindset is changing too slowly. But at least stuff like this is an indication that I feel like Nintendo's mindset is at least moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm going to be really, because my thought on this is, like, where do you go from here with Suika Game? Like, the game has, it's such a simple game.
Yeah.
It had like a huge moment, obviously. Yep. And like they put out like a Halloween update, which is basically just a skin.
Yeah.
What more do you really do with it? And I'm curious, like, because we've seen situations like this. Among Us is a really good example of, like, a game that during the pandemic absolutely exploded.
Yep.
I have its stats here. Its Steam, like, all-time peak was nearly 500,000 players at once. And now it's, like the current peak from today was less than 6,000. I mean, like, it's still alive, but like the drop off is significant, and you have to wonder, like, Suika Game's not gonna have like a way of retaining that relevancy, you know, for too long. Like, I don't know what else you do with it other than just like adding completely different game modes to it or
that's
something.
What I was gonna say, you know, if you tweak the formula a little bit, or maybe add in more weird oblong shapes to change up the gameplay, I don't know. I think because of the simplicity of the game, I do think there are little tweaks, little changes, little additions you can make here or there to really change up how the gameplay feels from its kind of initial vanilla version. So we'll see what the developer does, if the developer even wants to pursue something like that, or if they're just happy with the level of success the game has had, which frankly, that would not surprise me.
It'd be hard to argue with that, dude.
Exactly.
Like, at that point, it'd be like, maybe I just like cash out, you know? It's done. It did what it did. I could not blame them for that.
This game did a million times more than I ever wanted it to. I'm good with that.
Totally. Just like take the lightning in the bottle and run with it. You know, I think that would be smart. But anyways, yeah. Current, if you're an NSO subscriber and you have not played Suika Game yet, you can get it for free. Play it. Get addicted to it. Pay the $3 or whatever to just own it, because why not? Put a little extra money in Aladdin X's pockets. They
there need you it. Go. Just and don't Google it. For the
love of God, don't Google it. Yeah, exactly.
I would like to see a Christmas theme. That'd be nice.
I would too. It got an update recently, and I was like excited. We were chatting when it happened.
We were.
I was like, oh, like there's an update for Suikogame, and I popped in there hoping that it was going to be a Christmas theme, and no. Yeah. Still nothing. So we'll see. Maybe, I mean, maybe it's not Christmas yet. They've still got time. Maybe that's they're
true.
Prepping.
That's true.
Right? So who knows?
And next Halloween, just leave the Halloween skin there. Don't take it away.
Just leave it in. Yeah. Even for like just some extra music, for God's sakes, like just another song, more than just that one.
There's a story behind that, ladies and gentlemen.
Please. Anyways, free game trial, Suikogame, play it. Real quick, before we hit notable releases and then get into a special announcement. Bowser makes a good point. It needs friends leaderboards. Yeah, I don't think I realized it didn't have that. So yeah, I mean, add that. Come on, guys. You can get your 2023 year in review for Nintendo Switch. That is now available, just as a quick PSA. I'll put a link in the show notes and in the video description so that you can do that if you haven't already. Eric and I both did it. Eric's got like some crazy amount of hours on his Switch.
Hey, and then we determined
that like it's probably even more than that. We determined also. So yeah, I don't play, you know, I don't get the chance to play too many video games a lot of the times. I still have nearly 1,000 hours on my Switch, which is wild. So yeah, it's weird to confront those numbers.
It is really nice though, because you know, you get to see, you get to look back at the year in a bottle, essentially. That it tells you the games that you spent the most time on. It tells you how much cumulative time. It even tells you by genre, like how much percentage of your Switch time was spent playing adventure games and spent playing fighting games. I actually had a pretty nice spread.
I was going to ask, what was your first game? Because it like keeps track of what the first game you played in the year was. Do you remember what yours was?
My first game? No, I didn't see that. I know that my most hours was, you know, Zelda. Yeah. I know that my second most hours was Mortal Kombat 11 on the Switch version, which, yeah, that also makes sense. But yeah, I didn't see my, I'm sorry. Yes, I did see that.
What was it? I'm curious.
It was the exact game that it should have been.
Oh, Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, ringing in the new year with Animal Crossing.
Exactly. Which, weirdly enough, is I think the only time that I've played Animal Crossing New Horizons in 2023.
Yeah, well, that's fair. I mean, it's a good, you know, good thing.
I'm not saying I've put like 600 hours into the game. So
yeah.
It's not saying it's not worth playing.
Got my money's worth.
Exactly. Yeah.
My first game was Words with Freds, apparently.
Wow.
Which is our friend Fred Wood made a Wordle clone last year. And just, I don't know why, like, it's a mainstay for me. Like, I play that game regularly, and it's like,
he put it
out for, I think, $1. And like, cause he made it like as low cost as he could get away with. And it's literally a Wordle clone.
Yeah.
It's got really good music actually. And like, it looks gorgeous on the Switch OLED. So like, I find myself just busting it out for, apparently that was my first game of 2023. Nice. So I had to tag Fred and let him know that.
Shout out to Fred Wood. Check out Love 3.
Nice. There it is. Yeah. Love 3 is an excellent, excellent platformer. Fred Wood makes really good games. Also recently published, his studio recently published a game called Garden Guardian that I really like as well. So shout outs to Fred. Fred's doing good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's hit these notable releases, my friend. We got a bunch of interesting stuff. I think,
we got a couple of very interesting DLC releases that I think we should hit.
A lot of those.
Yeah. So first, and I would have liked to have said foremost, but first, at least, we did get the Indigo disc. We did get the Area Zero Part 2, as we mentioned a little earlier, what we feel is essentially the final piece of content coming to Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Hopefully not the last patch, but the final piece of content we feel like, at least final big piece of downloadable content coming to Scarlet and Violet outside of stuff like Terror Raid, you know, new Terror Raid Pokemon or something. But yeah, the Area Zero was effectively the Crown Tundra, the Isle of Armor 2-pack that we got for Sword and Shield all those years ago. And now we got the Area Zero Part 1, Part 2 now. So functionally, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is now content complete at this point. And if you're still a big Pokemon head, jump back in. There's a lot of legendary Pokemon to be gotten now. Just like they did with the Crown Tundra back in Sword and Shield days, they have added in a ton of legendaries from previous generations to entice people to come back in and round out their teams with a lot more kind of mythic legendary Pokemans.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not interested in this until they, you know, actually do what they said they were going to do over a year ago.
Yep.
I have no interest in this. But, you know, I know that there are a lot of people who still really enjoy this game, so I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum at all. So you do you, and I'll just wait until maybe they patch it. But I have no expectation for that. I will say, some of these other updates that we've gotten are way cooler. A lot of cool free updates. So, like, for example, that Dredge Dave the Diver collab DLC dropped today.
Yes, sir.
And that's free in Dave the Diver. I'm still hoping that the crossover goes the other way.
Exactly. I would
love to see that.
That'd be so awesome. But that'd be so great. Okay, yes. The Dredge Dave the Diver crossover, what's going on is it is specifically new content for Dave the Diver, and it includes the character that the captain of the ship from Dredge. So what Seth is talking about is he hopes we get content for Dredge, which is Dave the Diver themed. As of right now, this is only announced content for Dave the Diver.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll see if that ever, you know, goes the other way. Looked like it would.
Yeah, it should.
It kind of looked like it was going to, but who knows? I hope so. I would love to see that. That would make me very happy. So that did drop today. We also got the free update for Disney's Illusion Island, which I did not see this coming at all.
Yeah.
This is a neat update, man. They've added a lot of like big stuff to that game. There's like new time trials. There's like new stuff for the museum. Apparently the map has got like some improvements. So pretty neat.
Yeah. They, Nintendo released a trailer for the brand new free content update for Disney Illusion Island. And it does focus on, yes, these new time trial attacks that are also, just like the normal game itself, these time trials are also four-player co-op. So you can bring in your whole squad and play those as well, if that was something you did with the original game. And again, that's another free piece of content added to another really cool game that came out this year for the Switch.
Really like that game. That was a good game.
It was a good game. It was so fun finding all the hidden Mickeys and everything. I love games that are very completion friendly, and that game definitely was.
Yeah, they did the thing with that. We got that. We got a free update for Trombone Champ, which added two Christmas songs to the game, which, you know, makes me happy. Also added achievements to the game. And, you know, spoilers, on tomorrow's episode of All In a Nintendo Podcast, we'll be talking much more about Trombone Champ
as we're featuring it
in an indie showcase tomorrow. So
indeed,
look forward to that. There was a free update for Fae Farm, the Coasts of Krokia expansion. Fae Farm, you know, very popular game that came out a few months ago, and it's got its first major, you know, kind of free update that dropped today as well. So that's very cool. I think just like right before we went live, actually, it dropped.
Yeah.
And I know that Switch is not the place to play this game, but I do know that MK1 had a big update too.
Yes. Season 3 of Invasion Mode, this brand new Sub-Zero themed season Invasion Mode. And we also just got Quan Chi as a brand new character in Mortal Kombat 1, a character that I'm incredibly excited for. I've always been a big fan of the white-skinned ne'er-do-well. But really, really excited to have Quan Chi in MK1. If you're playing it on the Nintendo Switch, let me know how the sorcerer handles in that amazing version
of the game. In that the best version of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but yeah, a lot of really cool DLC content has come out this week. Not so much with the actual releases, however, we did have like one or two, didn't we?
Yeah, well, this a big surprise for me. I didn't see this come in. We got a demo released for Another Code Recollection.
Yeah.
Which comes out next month. I'm looking forward to that. That's, yeah. You know, Trace Memory.
The Trace Memory games, yeah.
Like the two games, but they've really kind of like remade them. It's basically is a full remake.
Yeah.
Complete full remake. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
The original games came out, I think they were both DS games. I know the first one at least was a DS title. I think
the second one was on Wii.
Oh, that's right. You're absolutely right. But the first one at least, Trace Memory starring Ashley Robbins, was on the DS. And I mean, to bring that to the Switch, they essentially were going to have to completely remake it. I will say, I didn't play the Wii version. I didn't play the second game.
It didn't come out here.
Big part of the reason I didn't play it.
Big reason, yeah.
Yeah. But one of the really cool things about Trace Memory was the fact that a lot of the puzzles and a lot of the gameplay was directly tailored to the Nintendo DS's specific strength. This is something that I've said on the show before, but one of my most memorable moments playing the DS was one of the puzzles from Trace Memory, where in order to solve the puzzle, it actually had you close the DS a couple times.
Right.
That's not necessarily something you can do with the Nintendo Switch, but that was, you know, the big calling card, I think, for Trace Memory was just how creative and how outside the box you really had to think to solve some of these puzzles. And I am really interested to see how much that part of the game's identity has translated to these Switch remakes. I'm sure they're still going to be good, but that's my biggest concern, is given a platform like the Switch, how are they going to translate a lot of those solutions to hopefully make use of outside-the-box thinking, given the Switch's unique capabilities?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be very curious to see how they handle that, too. I've got the trailer, the latest trailer that they shared playing here right now. And I've got to check out this demo. I got it downloaded. I haven't checked it out yet, but it's on the to-do list. It looks great.
Yeah, it does.
Especially Ashley's model, like her character model is so good. Like they did a great job with that. The environments are, you know, I mean, it's a Switch game, but like they've done a really good job of like, you know, kind of realizing the characters. And we're seeing some of like the puzzle solving and stuff, but I am going to be very curious to see how they've had to rethink, you know, a lot of this stuff for this version of the game. And yeah, I mean, like this is a full remake, man. Like this is not like a port. This is not an up-res. They have fully remade this game for Switch. Oh yeah,
absolutely. So for me, like best case scenario is they take maybe like a Zack and Wiki approach where they use the motion control on the controller to like, maybe you actually have to push the controller in and then turn it to use keys or unlock things or stuff like that. I don't know. I'm definitely going to have to check this demo out this weekend and see just how much of an idea that we're going to get for, you know, what the solutions are going to look like in this version. But this is still a game and a release that I am very much looking forward to in 2024. But again, that demo is up now for anybody who wants to check that out.
The game itself releases on January 19th. You can also pre-order the game now, and your progress from the demo can be transferred into the final version of the game. So always worth noting. I know a lot of people, really like that as well. So, and I'll just say too, like before we move on, like this is the kind of thing, like when they announced this, I would have never predicted that, you know, was going to be a thing they were going to do. And like, we should just be supportive of that happening at all. It's one of those games that like I really want to play it, but I would have bought it just to like support that it's happening.
Well,
you know, like I want to see more of this.
Like people like you and me who appreciate like cult classics like this, we are one part of this audience. Being completely honest, this game is going to need help when it comes to sales. It absolutely is. And having this demo on the Nintendo eShop was absolutely the right move.
Yep, I agree. Okay, well, we have that. We've talked about DLC. We've talked about updates. We've talked about demos. Let's talk about actual video game releases.
Yeah.
We had Palia came out. That's the free to play like MMO farming sim. That came out on Switch. Jason Lee in our community said that he was playing it, and he said it's running just fine on Switch. So
good.
That's good to hear. He said it has a little bit of like slowdown, but nothing crazy. Oh, is it Palia? The Nintendo pals are here in the chat. I assume this is Andros, who, you know, predictably says Palia. So maybe that is the correct pronunciation. Nintendo Palia. Maybe is the pronunciation there.
I'm not going to take no lip from anybody just because they happened to be good at guessing Nintendo release date and scores. Okay.
The year's not over yet, Eric. I didn't hear no bell. Silk Song, we still got a chance, baby. It could still happen.
We still got 2 weeks. Shadow drop in the next 2 weeks, baby. Let's do it.
You never know. I didn't hear no bell. It's still going, right? So we'll find out. No, we're totally screwed. It's not going to work out. But Palia is out now on the Nintendo Switch. So
I refuse to call it that now just because they said it. Palia is out now on the Nintendo Switch. Go ahead and check out Palia.
That's right. We also Potion Craft, which I thought Potion Craft was already out. I feel like I've seen Potion Craft for like 5 years. I didn't realize that it had not come out on Switch yet, but it's out on Switch now.
That was sneakiest launch trailer that popped up on their YouTube channel today.
Yeah.
Or today or yesterday or something.
I think it was yesterday. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, I didn't even see anything pop up. It's just like it was just there. It's so weird. This is one of the weirdest releases I've seen, but the game looks kind of decent.
It looks cool. Yeah, I really like the art style. Kind of reminds me of like Pentiment, that Xbox game. It's got that kind of look to it. It's like it is what it says on the tin. It is like the potion apothecary simulator sort of thing. Looks kind of neat. I'd be into it. I also wanted to flag the sort of dual release of Hammerwatch Anniversary Edition and Hammerwatch 2. I've always wanted to check these out. I've not got these.
I'm been not familiar.
On my radar for a minute. These are, I can see if I can pull up a trailer while I'm talking here.
Okay.
Hammerwatch 2 in particular is like, this is a like pixel art dungeon crawler roguelike. And I've just always been very drawn to like the look of that game. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick so people can kind of see what I'm talking about.
Well, pixel art's a quick way to both of our hearts. You know that.
I like pixel art. You know, I like, I like a lot of what this game's kind of doing. Here, I'll pull this up here so people can see it. Is a PlayStation trailer that I found. So don't at me, but, it's got this kind of chunky, like visual aesthetic that I kind of dig, but it's got this kind of like, Diablo Gauntlet, you know, sort of like old school fantasy look to it. It's co-op centric. So, you can do, I think, up to 4-player co-op and go through like dungeons and stuff together. I don't know, man. I think it looks pretty good.
Menu screen kind of reminds me of Minecraft, but the overall look of the game, for me at least, is very reminiscent of something like Moonlighter.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I like those like chunky, those nice chunky pixels. And the combat looks like pretty fast, and like it looks like kind of classic fantasy. I don't know, like it's kind of tapping into that like sort of gauntlet feel to me.
And this is specifically Hammerwatch 2. This trailer.
This is Hammerwatch 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hammerwatch 2 came out today on Switch, and then Hammerwatch Anniversary Edition. So like the anniversary edition of the first one also came out at the same time. So you can get them both on Switch now.
Separately, it's not like a Hammerwatch 1 and 2 like bundle app or anything.
You can get a bundle. They do have a bundle.
Okay.
But you can buy them both separate. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's on my radar. I don't know. I'd like to play it. I'd like to check it out. I'll probably wish list it and, you know, keep an eye on it.
Nice. Okay.
So
very cool.
I think that's it. I think that's it for notable releases.
Nice. A couple of fun games that have come out. A lot of free DLC that came out this week, which is, you know, it's nice to see a lot of these games people already have. So having a little bit more to do, having a little bit of extra content going into the holiday season, a little pre-Christmas gift, I think is a nice thing to do, especially, you know, for Trombone Champ. You got those new Christmas songs that you can play. Very fun. Very cool.
Very, very fun.
Yeah. And let us know if you guys are playing Trombone Champ or any of the games that came out or any of the DLC that came out this week. And let us know. reach out to us on Facebook, on Twitter, at All In Podcast. Come join our amazing Discord community. You saw a bunch of them in the chat tonight. We'd love to have you over in the Discord. We'd love to have you join the All In Army. Come on over. Also, make sure if you're watching us here on YouTube to like, subscribe, hit the bell, and all that good stuff. Make sure that you never miss another video coming from yours truly. When I say yours truly, I mean both myself and Seth. We're always putting it up.
Ours truly.
Yeah, ours are the royal we, you know.
Right.
Make sure you never miss an All In video. Like I said, we're always putting out content, but even in addition to this, you know, and if you're listening to the podcast version of this, it's youtube.com/allinpodcast. If you're watching the video version of this, you can, if you just click on the bell right there, you can see all the information that you're going to need to see. You know, no clickbait, you know, just click the bell over there and everything will take care of itself. But in addition to that, in addition to all the video that we videos that All In puts out, in addition to the, you know, the actual podcast that we put out each and every Saturday and have been doing for 184 straight weeks now. In addition to all that, we even create exclusive content for those awesome patrons we shouted out.
We do. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. There's exclusive podcasts and exclusive content that goes up there every single week. You can head over there, get a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier and see what all the fuss is about. You don't have to take our word for it. Check it out. Maybe throw a few bones our way for our hard work. We appreciate it. You can also do that by picking up some merch. That again is bit.ly/allinmerch. Links, if you're watching the video version, are below as well. You can easily grab yourself a shirt or a mug or a sticker. We appreciate that. Comments, likes, and all that on YouTube are very appreciated. Again, on the podcast feed, leave us a 5-star review. Very, very appreciated as well. So thanks so much to everybody who's done that.
Yeah, to everybody who's done that, to everybody who has left words, to everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch, especially to our amazing patrons, and to everybody who has even just shared our content, shared one of our videos, one of our podcasts, or one of our tweets. We would like to extend to all of you a massive namaste.
Namaste. Now, don't run away yet, folks.
Yes.
We have something to share with y'all before we wrap up the show tonight.
Yes, we promised a surprise and we shall deliver.
Little surprise for y'all in store tonight. So the Golden Aces are coming up. That is our annual, award show that we do every single year. We always take the tact of waiting for the full year to conclude before we do our award show. So the Golden Aces, I'm happy to announce, will be occurring on January 5th. That is in what, 3 weeks? 2-3 weeks? What are we at?
Three weeks out.
Same bat time, same bat channel, right here. We will be doing it live. And we are taking a different approach to the Golden Aces this year than we have in years past.
Oh, Andrew really?
Says,
do
can't
tell.
Wait to be nominated for Fantasy Critic Leaguer of the Year. That is not a category. We have added multiple new categories this year, but let me add that category
just to not give him the Golden Ace for that.
Let me tell y'all about this a little bit. So in years past, we have had like a community's choice award sort of thing where the community could vote on what their favorite game of the year was, and they would have one sort of community's choice award. And we thought, how do we get the community even more involved with the awards this year and really kind of put the All In communities. We have an incredible community in Discord. We have people, you know, on Twitter. We love our community and we want to get them as involved as possible. So this year for the Golden Aces, every category is going to have a community voted award associated to it. You guys will be able to decide the winners in these categories. We have carefully curated nominees in almost all of the categories. There are going to be two write-in categories. One of them is going to be Game of the Year. You will just literally tell us what your Game of the Year is, and we'll go from there. But otherwise, we have carefully curated categories and nominees for you all to vote for. And the voting is going to be taking place starting right now, my friend.
It's going live!
Posting the link.
It's going live!
In the chat.
Shadow dropped
in the chat. You can go and vote for the Golden Aces 2023 right now.
Now, if you're wondering what the other write-in category is, That is for Nintendo Content Creator of the Year. Mm-hmm. This is our Bobby Paul's Memorial Award. So a content creator that you all genuinely think is a boon for this community. People who, you know, create amazing stuff and spread a lot of positivity and help make this community a better place. We want to make sure that a special content creator gets this. So those are the two write-in awards, is Game of the Year, but also an incredibly important one for the Bobby Paul's Memorial Content Nintendo Content Creator of the Year Award.
Yeah, if I could speak on that for a second. Bobby Paul's late great Nintendo guru, for those who don't know who he was, a fantastic Nintendo content creator who really was a trendsetter in this space, changed the lives of many, many people. And we wanted to, starting with last year's Golden Aces, we wanted to memorialize him with that category, with that award, every year for the Golden Aces moving forward. And that is the kind of, he was so passionate about this space and about the content being made in this space that felt like the right thing to do to honor his memory. So I will say Eric and I are ineligible to win this award. So yeah, Don't go in there and write Eric and Seth, right? But make your voice heard. Let us know who was your favorite Nintendo content creator this year. And we will be live on January 5th to announce the winners of that and every category. And it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
And if you're not watching us right here, right now on YouTube, we promise we are going to make that link incredibly easy to find for the next few weeks.
Yeah, we'll be screaming it from the rooftop. So I will say too, and this is all this information is also on the form. Voting is live until the 1st. So get your votes in now. Again, the link is in the chat right now. It's going to be in the video description. It'll be in the audio description. It's going to be on our Twitter, in a few minutes. It's going to be everything. So, we appreciate everybody for getting involved with this, and we're very excited to do our award show and
have
the maximum amount of community involvement, more so than we've ever had in the past. The Golden Aces coming out this year, bigger and better than ever.
Yeah.
So
share it far, share it wide. We want as many people voting on this as humanly possible. And thank you in advance.
Yeah. Andros shouts out that I did win a Pally last year. So I've got too many awards already. So I am disqualified from winning that award this year. So cool. Well, I appreciate y'all very, very much. All in a Nintendo podcast, new episode goes live tomorrow on your podcast feed. It's a fun episode. We're doing an indie showcase on Trombone Champ. We're doing the top 5 modern, like post Wii era, motion controls in Nintendo games. And I'm doing a boomerang review, finally reviewing WarioWare Move It. So, it's a fun episode. Look forward to that going live on your podcast feed tomorrow. And get your votes in, and look forward to the Golden Aces January 5th. Yeah. Mark, circle it on the calendar, Eric.
Oh, it's already circled in golden ace marker.
Yeah, in gold marker.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much. Big shout outs to everybody who's here live tonight. Shout outs to Bowza, Andros, Sean Capri was here, Fulia was here. Good to see everybody, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.